Welcome to the last session of TechEd Melbourne 2014. My name is Aaron Dinnage. I'm a technical specialist with Microsoft Australia, based here in Melbourne, and presenting today with Chris.
Hey, I'm Chris. I am from Microsoft Consulting Services. I'm a senior consultant there. I'm specialized in productivity suite and the cloud stack as well. So I go to the customers and help them to do the implementation. So I'm the customer-facing girl here.
So today we're talking about the implementation experience that we've recently had with a customer who has implemented Hybrid Search and OneDrive for Business, Hybrid OneDrive for Business as well, of course. And we'll be taking you through some of the details of what they did, why they did it, the experience, the lessons learned, and some tips and tricks for you, and explaining how those two scenarios work. So we've got a couple of objectives. We want to make sure we cover all the common configuration and tools and setup of a hybrid environment and give you an appreciation of how that fits together. And we want to talk about the experience specifically in hybrid outbound search, but we'll discuss briefly what the other flavors of hybrid search are, and hybrid OneDrive, which I'll talk you through. So we'd like you to also understand the value proposition, why you would do this, why this customer did it, and why you might do it or your customers may do it. And of course, the critical components. To begin with though, a little bit of background on the engagement that we're discussing here today. So this was for a resources and energy company by the name of Worley Parsons, based out of Sydney in Australia. The engagement took place in Western Australia, just to set the mood. Very large on-premises investment in SharePoint. So this organization is a heavy user of on-premises SharePoint, and that plays into the decision-making around hybrid workloads. Would you necessarily make the same choices in a different scenario? Perhaps. We'll try to explain some of that as we go through. But as you can see here, we're talking about 13 farms, 9 terabytes of data or thereabouts, and a lot of full trust .NET solutions in their SharePoint environment, and otherwise customization. So these things play into the decision-making process around how you're going to move to start consuming cloud workloads and why you might want to look at hybrid solutions. They have about 36,000 seats in Office 365, and they wanted to perform some migration and some hybrid workloads. So why does this factor in? Well, when you move from SharePoint on-premises to SharePoint online, you do need to forego the full trust.NET solutions that you may have written in the past, as I'm sure a lot of you are already aware. There is a new application development model that came in SharePoint 2013, and you can absolutely develop with that model in the cloud. But for customers such as Worley Parsons, who had a significant investment already in SharePoint on-premises, that adds to the price tag. So it may make sense to stretch out that deployment, that migration to the cloud, to get more value and to make that a more natural transition over time, instead of trying to take a big bang approach. You can imagine a big bang approach on a farm or a number of farms and a volume of data of this size is going to be difficult to achieve. So let's talk a little bit about the business requirements they had and what drove this. So users being able to find content is always key. When we move things around, we break the natural navigation that users have experienced in the past, and they have to be able to find that content. Search is going to be really important in that process. So during migration, or be that a gradual, staged, or a large migration of content, you need to think about how users are going to find that content, and search is a great way to do that. They wanted to keep their My Sites on-premises, and they had an existing investment in SharePoint Social. So to continue to do that, but still leverage the 1 terabyte of storage per user that you get with OneDrive for Business, they needed to look at hybrid OneDrive. And so we'll break up this session into those two topics, and we'll go into a bit of detail about how they achieved it and how you can achieve that. And we'll start off with outbound hybrid search, and I'll hand over to Chris, and she'll take you through that.
Okay, thanks, Aaron. So in the following probably about 20 minutes, I will basically talk you through about how hybrid search work, what are the setup steps we are, and also I will share you some of the experience we had when we implementing this particular technology with Worley Parsons. Okay, so what is hybrid search? So the typical hybrid search environment, normally what you got is a SharePoint 2013 on-premises environment. So you need to be a standard or enterprise version, right? So then you will have your instance of your SharePoint online sitting on your Office 5 tenant. Okay, so we will know that those indexes are totally separate. They have different content. So in my on-premises environment, my crawler will always crawl my local sites, my file shares, and the other resources which you're configured with. And on my SharePoint tenant, my crawler is always crawl my SharePoint online sites. So there is no integration at all. So that is where our hybrid search come to play, right? So it is actually leverage a very cool feature in SharePoint 2013, which we call remote resource. So what we do is here is user can actually view the results from both index, from SharePoint online and SharePoint on-premises in performing one search.
So it's an important point to make here, right? We're not talking about reaching down and crawling your SharePoint environment on-premises from the cloud or vice versa. Mm-hmm. We're talking about each environment taking care of itself and being able to combine the results to provide a great user experience.
That's right. So the first decision point you need to make when you think about hybrid search is what topology you're going to choose. So we have three topologies. The first one is the most common one and a simple one as well is we call one-way outbound search. What does this is the SharePoint on-premises environment, they're going to issue a query to SharePoint online. So on behalf of the user, and it will bring the results from SharePoint online and with SharePoint on-premises as well, and with security trimmed as well. So we actually implement this particular topology with Woolley Parsons, not only because this is the easy steps, but also this is easy win, and also it will lay the foundation of infrastructure for your hybrid inbound search as well. The next one will be a bit of complex, that is hybrid inbound. What this one does is my SharePoint online users will issue a query and get results back from both my SharePoint on-premises and my SharePoint online. Okay, there is a special consideration when you're thinking of using this topology, that is the reverse proxy. Okay, you need to publish your SharePoint on-premises farm through reverse proxy in order for the SharePoint crawler to be able to reach out to it. So that is more complex to set up and definitely need more effort. And the last one, which is really the combination of those two, so it's a two-way bi-directional. So basically, regardless of where my user sit, I can always get results both from my SharePoint on-premises and my SharePoint online. Okay.
So to be clear, we're talking about one-way outbound today, and that's what we'll drill into now.
Yeah. So I will show you a little bit under the hood what happened for the SharePoint online for the SharePoint outbound search. So basically me, myself as a user, I log into my on-premises search center and it issue a query and start to talk to my query processors. And this is where my query processors start to initiate the query and ask my index to pass me the results back. All right, so this is typical what you're familiar with your SharePoint search experience, okay? For hybrid search, the story doesn't end here. So at the moment, my query component will hold this result search, the search result set back, and pending for a second synchronized call. So next step, my query processor component will start to issue a SYSON call to my SharePoint online environment and passing some of my identity attribute as well. This will help the SharePoint online to know who I am, okay? So once SharePoint online receive these attributes, I can tell you which they are. They are the UPN, they are the SMTP address, they are the name identifier, and there is also a SIP address as well. Okay, so once SharePoint online receive this request, it will do a lookup to the user profile application online, right? This is very important, right? So because it needs to have a way of knowing I am returning the result this user is able to see. So once the user is get a match in my user profile application, it will pass the user, right, with the query together to my index component that will very similar, my index component will return a second set of search results. This is the very crucial piece for the whole SharePoint hybrid to work. We call it user dehydration. Right. That is what we're going to talk about. Your identity piece setup will be very important to make it work. We need to make sure the user claim you pass from your on-premises environment will be able to have a match in your SharePoint Online environment. Okay, so now my query processor component in SharePoint Online will pass down the result set to the query processing component on-premises so that it will combine those two and return it to the user from my on-premises search center. So very simple process, right? It's not rocket science.
And important note there, though, we have to do that identity component so that we can make sure that all the results are security trimmed appropriately. It would be no use having hybrid search that sent you back all the results that you weren't allowed to actually see. And so that's the piece that's taking place in SharePoint Online to ensure that the security trimming, crucial component of SharePoint search, is adhered to.
Yeah. And then now I'm going to show you the setup steps for such topologies. Right, it's fairly simple as well. I'm sure after the session, when you go back to your workplace, you can set it up yourself, okay?
Sorry, so the statement there was without change control.
Change control, we'll cover that a little bit late.
Yeah, but we'll certainly have time for questions at the end as well.
Absolutely.
So we can dig into some of the other themes.
Okay, so this is the infrastructure deployment we have with Woolly Parsons, but more or less with your on-premises environment as well. So this is what you will get, right? So you now have your SharePoint 2013 on-premises environment. You will have your SharePoint Online instance here. There are a couple of services you need to enable for your SharePoint on-premises environment to make the things to work. Well, we need a search service application to up and running. That's no question about it. We need to have your subscription setting and app management services running. Those two services is the requirement for you to be able to register your SharePoint Online as a high trust app for your SharePoint on-premises environment. Then the crucial bits is this, the user profile application, right? You need to make sure that the UPA is running and it's actually syncing with your Active Directory. Right, because this is hosting the claims of what the user have and also have knowing that what the user have the rights. So the first piece you need to consider is getting the DirSync set up. Like I mentioned before, DirSync is a must-have requirement for you to set up a hybrid environment. It ensures that the identities you have on-premises will be replicated to the cloud, so my SharePoint Online will knowing who the user is when we're making the query, right? So that is the whole rehydration process.
So to ensure that the attributes that are required for that rehydration process are in place, we need to be running DirSync or the new AADSync.
That's correct. The second piece is your ADFS server. So if you require single sign-on, and most of your organizations will require single sign-on, right? I know there's additional servers, additional cost and effort. It's not a must-have, but it's a good to have. So basically what ADFS do is my user log on to my SharePoint Online and actually redirect to my ADFS implementation, and basically they can log in using their domain credentials, okay? So if you don't have ADFS set up, that's okay. You need to do the DirSync with your password sync. Okay, this will giving you the similar sort of outcome, but different experience. You won't be able to have single sign-on experience if you're using DirSync with password sync, because the authentication is happening in the Azure Active Directory. If you set up ADFS, the authentication is actually happening in your on-premises Active Directory. So your user won't be prompted for username and password every time they log in. Okay? All right. So this is interesting. You know, if you are SharePoint admin, you will know when you stand up SharePoint, you have we call security token services, which they're looking after the authentication. And we need to basically swap the default STS certificate into another certificate so that I can establish the server-to-server trust All right. The reason for that is that the default certificate come out of the box with SharePoint is not going to work with my access control services in my Windows Azure. Right. So we need to do a certificate swap. So this certificate can be a self-sensor, or it can be a certificate issued by your public certificate authorities. Once you do it, we will run a bunch of PowerShell commands. So basically to establish the server-to-server trust between those two farms. Okay? And the last steps is fairly that simple, is you need to configure your query rule and you configure your result source for your SharePoint on-premises environment. And after you've done this, you will be happily have a hybrid outbound SharePoint search environment. So I basically summarize what I just talked about into three big workloads. So the first one is hybrid infrastructure. If you are an infrastructure guy, this is fairly simple for you. Okay. The second one is configure server-to-server trust. This is the where I'm going to spend most of the time talk about today. Right. The third one will be that simple if you are SharePoint admin, because this is really configure result source and query rules very similar to your on-premises environment. Okay. Okay, let's talk about the first one. So for configure outbound infrastructure requirements, you basically have the SharePoint and non-SharePoint requirements. For the non-SharePoint requirements, you need to have DirSync, single sign-on, you need to have the certificate ready, and also you need to install a bunch of tools. One is the Azure Active Directory module, and the other is SharePoint Online Management Shell in one of your webfront and servers in SharePoint farm. So this is to make sure that we actually perform all the implementations in one place. On the SharePoint side, you basically need to enable all the services like user profile services, app management, subscription settings, and the search service applications. And also you need to make sure that my primary web applications, where is my search center set up, need to have SSL configured. The reason for that is in order to enable OAuth on SharePoint 2013, HTTPS is a requirement, okay?
Just on that, there are some other components of SharePoint 2013 that will require that configuration as well. So if you're looking at using the App Store for apps in SharePoint 2013, then you've probably already configured your environment with SSL. If not, you probably will.
Okay. Okay. So for the second step, which is configure server-to-server trust, this is where most of people struggle with, and I will go through each of the steps of how to do it, okay? Very high level, what you need to do, you need to swap the certificate that we mentioned again, and then you need to be able to upload that certificate to your SharePoint Online environment, right? And after that, what you need to do is you need to add your SharePoint on-premises service principal into your Azure Active Directory. All of this is preparing for my number four step, which is register your SharePoint Online as a high-trust app for your SharePoint on-premises environment. And after that, it will be fairly simple. We set the SharePoint authentication RAM, and we set up the trust with ACS proxy. Okay.
Just before we walk through the next few slides, which have a lot of sort of PowerShell script component, I've seen a lot of people taking photos, and I appreciate that. We're good-looking people. That's very kind of you. But these slides are all available on the Yammer network, so please don't be afraid to jump in and download them from the Yammer network that's been set up. It's not a trap. You can jump on the Yammer network. There's no commitment. You don't have to buy. But these are available, so please do check it out and jump on there. If you want to keep taking photos, though, I'll try to smile as much as I can.
So, okay. So each of those steps, we have PowerShell associated with it. I will do a very quick walkthrough because I don't want to read out PowerShell in this session. But you are more than welcome to download the slides after the session to have a close look at it. Okay. So the first is we need to define the variables. Right. So here, I only need to mention that you need two formats of certificate. Right. One is PFX format. This format of certificate is used for you to swap your STS certificate. Another format is your dot serve file, and that is used for you to establish trust with your SharePoint Online. So just make sure that you have those two formats ready, okay? And then I basically have my password. I have my on SharePoint on-premises domain, and I have my SP size, which is where my search center is sitting. And then the last variables I have is my SharePoint Online app ID. So this value will never change, right? This is a well-known value for SharePoint Online to register as a high-trust app. So replace STS certificate. Okay, it's nothing tricky. It's all you need to do is run the setSP security token service config with importing the signing certificate, right? We found out that you only need to run this command once in your farm instead of on every server, right? So there are probably some misunderstanding on the TechNet article, just pay attention to it. So after that, we need to make sure that we run the IIS reset and restart the timer job for SharePoint to pick up the new certificate. Okay, and then we will do a bunch of conversion to make sure our certificate is in the bin format base 64 so that it can be uploaded to my SharePoint Online. Then we run the new MSO service principal credentials to upload the certificate. So after those steps is done, the next one is I get my SharePoint on-premises service principals, and I make sure that my Windows Azure Active Directory updated accordingly. So the commands I run is set MSOL service principles, okay? And then it's fairly simple. Once I have those, I can register my SharePoint Online as a high trust app. So we're running the register SP app principle command. Oh, and then before that, actually, we need to set SP authentication RAM as well. So all of those is going to prepare to lay the foundations for our last steps, which is to set up the trust with ACS proxy. We will be able to create an Active Directory proxy for my SharePoint on-premises farm, and then we run the new SP Trusted Security Token Issuer to establish the trust. So this is all you need to do in run the server-to-server configuration.
So there will be a quiz on this on the feedback form for the session, so just letting you know.
Okay, so the last one is configure result source and query rule. This is that simple. I'm going to do a very quick demo on how to do it. Okay.
I think your machine has gone to sleep. Okay. So, TechEd, hey? How about that?
Okay.
I can't hear what you're saying back to me. Oh, carry on.
All right, sorry. So this is my on-premises SharePoint site. Okay, you can say we can do this on the search service application level. We can do it on the set collection level, and we can do it on set level as well. What we do is need to create a result source. What is result source? It's basically SharePoint saying is, okay, every time I issue a query, where am I going to get my result from? All right, so here, what we're going to do is in the set settings, there is a search result source options. We click here, and we say new result source. And here we create a new search result source. We say SharePoint Online. And this is the new very cool feature I talk about is we call remote index. We need to make sure that it's actually coming from the remote SharePoint. And we put remote service URL. That is very simple. That's going to be your root URL for your SharePoint Online tenant. So for me, it's HTTPS. Just a note here. If you want to have set up your search for your OneDrive for Business on the cloud, here you're going to type your MySite host for your OneDrive for Business in your SharePoint Online.
So that would be as simple as adding dash my after the tenant name at the start, right?
That's correct. And leave everything as default. And for credential information, for the outbound search, you chose the default authentication. That is basically saying, please impersonate as me using my credential to get results. If you're using inbound topology, make sure you chose the SSO ID because that's where you actually store your certificate there. And I say save, and that's done, okay? And the next one we're going to do is to create a query rule. So what query rule do is every time I fire a query, I tell SharePoint what to do. Okay, so here I got search query rules. I make sure that I select my SharePoint Online, the result source I just created as a query rule, and I say new query rules. So I say SPO test. Okay, here you can have query conditions. All right, I want to spend a bit more time here because this is interesting. The reason is you can actually specify what will want to fire this query. You don't have to fire this query every time you run a search in your SharePoint on-premises. Why is that? Remember in the diagram before we ran through, it's actually when SharePoint on-premises issue a query to SharePoint Online, it's a synchronized query. So instead of run the result back straight away, it actually wait. It's waiting for you to get the second result set back from SharePoint Online in order to render the query. So there will be a sort of delay on rendering the search results from the user experience perspective. So you might want to control that sort of performance impact on actually putting some conditions in the query. So I don't fire this hybrid search query every time I do a search. I probably, if my keyword have SharePoint Online or Office 365, then I fire the query. You can do something like that. Or if you won't bother, you just say remove the condition. Oh, sorry. I got too excited. So remove the condition. So then this is means every time you do a search on premises, you will fire the query. Okay?
So what if SharePoint Online is unreachable, maybe there's a network connectivity issue, or for whatever reason we can't get that result set. How long will SharePoint on-premises sit there trying to fetch those results before it gives up and moves on?
So the magic number is 15 seconds. Okay, they will try 50 seconds. If not, they will stop trying. Okay. Let's see. Actions will be able to add a result block here. So we leave the query variables and block titles default. And here we basically chosen my result sources SPO. And you can choose what sort of how many items you want to render. Right, I chose 5. And within the settings, here is interesting because by default is the block is ranked with core results. What this say is my SharePoint Online result come back will be mixed with my SharePoint on-premises results. So it's very difficult for you to test and see if my SharePoint hybrid search is working or not. For a good user experience, we normally choose this block is always shown above the core result, yeah. Right? So which is means my SharePoint online results always stay on the top of my page, and the bottom is my on-premises search result.
So it's an important point worth reiterating. When you're setting this up, you'll likely want to choose the first radio button, so that you separate out clearly in the rendered results what's coming from online and what's coming from on-premises. However, you may then decide for production use that you want to actually just blend them together, and that's the second option. So in that option, it actually preserves the ranking and will blend them in such that the results will be ranked as if they were part of one search index.
Okay, so we press OK. And then I'll make sure that we chose is active for publishing. You don't have to mention start date and end date. It's not compulsory. And then we basically...
But that would decide, if I only wanted to perform hybrid search for a certain period of time.
Yeah. That's right. All right. So it's saved. So it's this that simple for your third step, which is configure your query result, query rules and result source. So...
Yep, we're back.
Okay. This is what you're going to see as end result. You can see if everything's successful, you will see your results from the cloud sitting on the top and your results from the SharePoint on-premises sitting at the bottom. Every time you click the result, which is from the cloud, it will redirect you to your SharePoint Online environment. Okay. So Lastly, I just want to share with you some of our lessons learned when we're doing the implementation with Woolly Parsons. Okay, the first thing is user cannot log in SharePoint after replace STS certificate, right? That's a big panic, right? You will think it's SharePoint's farm is down, right? By replacing your STS certificate, it's not going to bring down your SharePoint farm, and it's not going to prevent the user to log in as well. What it happened is some of the users, they still have the old fed auth cookie valid with the old signing token. So what we do for them is I ask them to actually to browser in private browser session and then clear the cache. So this is will fix the problem. So don't panic if you have user causing I cannot log in after you do the STS certificate replacement. Okay.
But it might be worth doing that last thing on a Friday.
Exactly. Second one is you need to plan for the certificate expiration. So the STS certificate will be expired after a year or 3 years, depends on where you got the certificate. So you need to make sure that you have this planned, because when the certificate expired, it's not going to work. Your hybrid search won't be able to return the result because my SharePoint online farm does not trust my on-premises farm anymore. Okay, so you need to make sure that this is well in plan. The third one is be aware of latency in queries across environment. We already briefly covered it. So just make sure that you're aware that this is a synchronized call instead of asynchronous call. And this is also will help you when you're choosing your topology. If most of your staff is sitting on premises, it makes sense to do outbound search. Otherwise, if most of your staff sitting in the cloud, it makes sense to do inbound search just to minimize the performance impact. Okay. The last one, that's the rollback, that's for change management. Okay. You ask me how we do with change management. Okay. It's really, there's nothing to roll back. Think about that. What's the worst case scenarios? After you confirm all those steps, it failed. You end up where you are. All right. You still have your search results from on-premises and nothing come from the cloud. And that is the worst scenarios you have. And it's really a minimum sort of operations. What you have is schedule a change window because you need to IIS reset when you actually do the certificate replacement. Right? But other than that, it's really, really minor. And we do, just in case you want to have a rollback strategy, we do have Azure PowerShell command which to help you to remove the server-to-server trust and remove the Active Directory proxy you set up for your on-premises farm. So that is your rollback plan to answer your questions. Okay? So I think that's it for hybrid search, and I will get my colleague Erin to finish up with hybrid OneDrive.
Great. Thanks, Chris. So we'll have a bunch of links at the end of the deck as well to some resources online that will spell out some of those details and help you to perform the same within your or your customers' environments as well. But now let's talk a little bit about hybrid OneDrive. So I mentioned this at the start. We talked a little bit about some of the reasons why this customer wanted to do hybrid OneDrive, and broadly those reasons hold true across the board. You've got a SharePoint environment on premises, you know and love it, you want to keep it, but you're tempted by this 1 terabyte of storage in the cloud and all the mobility capabilities that brings with it as well. So having your users able to access that content wherever they are without necessarily needing to publish out your SharePoint on-premises environment. So some great advantages to having that OneDrive in the cloud, but you want that experience to be seamless. You want it to be very, very easy for your users on-premises to take advantage of that. So how does it work? Well, essentially, if I'm on-premises and I sign into SharePoint and then I click on my OneDrive for Business link, you'll see this diamond-shaped piece of the flow chart here, which says which audience. So we use the audience feature in SharePoint to determine which users get a OneDrive in the cloud. So you can actually be selective about this. You may decide there are certain users, perhaps you've got users that are involved in mergers and acquisitions or particularly sensitive work, and you want to keep their OneDrive for Business on-premises. You can absolutely do that with this model. So you define an audience, the audience gets checked. If I'm in the audience that goes to the cloud, I get redirected to the OneDrive for Business location that exists in Office 365. If I'm not in that audience, I stay down on premises and I consume OneDrive for Business on premises. So it's actually very, very, very simple. There's a little bit of setup that you need to do, but again, that's also very, very simple. The end result, you've got a seamless experience for your users. I'll talk a little bit about the infrastructure component in a second, because there is some decision points around what the authentication piece looks like. But at its best, this is a seamless experience for users. So there's three steps here. You need to prepare your environment, and you need to deploy Service Pack 1 for SharePoint 2013 to do this. So I'll repeat that again. It is a SharePoint 2013 Service Pack 1 feature. So if you're currently operating with RTM SharePoint 2013, it's probably time to upgrade to Service Pack 1. I'd encourage you to do that regardless of whether you implement OneDrive for Business Hybrid, but it is a prerequisite for OneDrive for Business Hybrid. You need to have done the identity piece that Chris talked about earlier, and I'll reiterate that in a moment. And then you need to set up your audience, flick the switch, and make it go live. So as I mentioned, Service Pack 1, and we've got a link there so you can download it. You also have to have a SharePoint online plan of some kind that will give you OneDrive for Business. So if you're an E SKU or an M SKU, you've got, well, we don't use M SKUs. Well, yes, we do. Or you've got an A SKU or any of those SKUs that are going to give you a OneDrive for Business, you're ready to go. If you don't have one, then talk to your LSPs or come and have a chat with us, whatever that process, to get yourselves some licenses to then do that. So in terms of the on-premises network and setting up the infrastructure there, very similar to what Chris said, we're going to need to look at getting that identity that lives on-premises in Active Directory up into Azure Active Directory so that we can pass the user up and consume the OneDrive for Business there. And similar to how Chris described it, if you have password hash synchronization in place, then the user will need to sign in when they get redirected to their OneDrive for Business. So think about the user experience there and consider whether single sign-on through ADFS is potentially a more appropriate measure. Now, of course, you don't have to place that ADFS infrastructure and directory synchronization infrastructure on premises. You can certainly lift that up into Azure and actually host it there with a VPN connection back down to your on-premises environment. So in some organizations, they've found this to be a quick way to prototype. Stand up a couple of VMs in Azure, connect them back, and get going quicker than perhaps they would otherwise be able to do by wrangling all the resources or outsourced management of their on-premises environment. So just something to consider there. Good way to proof of concept this solution. Once that's done, we need to create that audience. We need to define the audience. Now, if you've ever used the audience targeting feature within SharePoint 2013 or even previous versions, you're probably already very familiar with how audiences work and the requirements around them. A very simple thing to set up, and once you've done that, you can start then plugging in that audience as the one that's going to receive the OneDrive for Business in the cloud. Just looking at the time, I think we've probably got time to demo that. Do you want to do an ad hoc demo? It's the end of Tech Ed on the second day. What could possibly go wrong, right?
Okay.
Demos never fail at the end. So we might show you what that looks like, but as I say, if you're already using SharePoint and you've used audience targeting in the past, this is the same process. There's no difference there. So nothing at all to worry about. And as I say, it gives you that granularity to target particular users. Now, some customers say, well, why can't I just target an AD group? Well, you can through the audience, but the audience actually lets you target based on attributes in the user profile. So you can be very fine-grained about who's going to get a OneDrive for Business in the cloud versus a OneDrive for Business on-premises. No, we'll keep moving. That's okay. So, things to consider. Now, the first three things to consider here are true for any OneDrive for Business deployment or migration. So, these are not specific to this scenario, but it's worth mentioning them, because if this is your first foray into OneDrive for Business, you'll need to have a think about this. So, one of the great advantages of OneDrive for Business is this ability to synchronize the content that you've got in your OneDrive for Business back down onto your local machine, carry it with you, take it offline, and still have this fully integrated experience. But you need to then get the sync client installed on that machine. So if you're in a corporate environment, it may be that the user doesn't have the rights to install the sync client, so you'll need to consider either deploying that or deciding not to provide that capability. we'd encourage you to provide that capability. We think there's great value there, but that's up to you. There are some limitations on the synchronization at this point in time, and I'll just call out up front, it's a moving target. We're always improving this service, and I can tell you there's a lot of great improvements happening here, but at this point in time, there's things like a 20,000 file limit on your OneDrive for Business and a 2 GB maximum file size. So you need to be aware of that. There's also some file name compatibility limitations. So if you've ever worked with SharePoint in the past and stored content in document libraries, you'll be familiar that you can't name files anything and everything you want. There are some file name limitations, as there are some file type limitations. All of that is documented in great detail online. And we've got a link in the deck to a file checking tool that you can run over home drives or wherever your content may reside today to actually detect against the rule set that we have whether or not you're going to encounter any issues in migrating that content to Office 365 to OneDrive for Business. So worth running that tool ahead of time to get a bit of a view of what that's going to look like when you go to do it in anger. And as I mentioned earlier, you do have that ability to stage the rollout through the audience targeting to decide specifically who gets it and who doesn't. I'd encourage you, even if your plan at the end is to have every user on OneDrive for Business in the cloud, start with an audience, start in a staged manner so that you get to work through it without impacting everybody all at once, and you can then roll it out as that success builds. So what we might do at this point, do you reckon we'll do the demo or?
I don't think I have.
So let's move into Q&A. So the way we'll do this, I'll grab a microphone, Chris will grab a microphone, we'll run down into the crowd, it'll be like the price is right, and just shout out, we'll hand you a question. Put your hand up, we'll give you a microphone so that everybody can hear your question, and we'll go from there. If you want to leave now and you don't want to be part of the Q&A, this is your chance. Thank you very much for coming along. And I'll go down in the crowd. Any questions? Throw your hand in the air. Yep, well, one's right here. I'm lazy, I'll come to you next.
You do rule and a search on SharePoint, online on premises, right? You get a result. If you don't get a result from online, how do you know there's nothing there or it's not connected?
That's a good question. User. Yeah, so as an end user, if I run a search and I don't get any results, from online, but I do get results from on-premises, I'll see those results from on-premises, and that's because they're the only valid results. So it's not a problem in that sense, if you catch what I mean. If you want to be explicit about it, you would select the radio button to separate out the results, and then you'll get a clear view of where those results have come from and whether there were any results from online versus on-premises.
But you don't get results from online. How do you know there is no connectivity?
That's a good question. So, Chris, I might throw this one to you. If you don't get any results from online because of a connectivity issue, is that highlighted to the user in the user interface?
So basically, user won't see anything. All they see is no results returned.
There's no difference there.
No difference. User, no difference for users.
Cool. Yeah. Questions?
Any other questions?
No. Yes.
All right. Cool.
My question is more on the OneDrive for Business. So we've been running in Office 365 for about 2.5 years, using the OneDrive quite a lot across the business. I actually just rolled out another SOA and I pulled that out. We had a lot of issues with synchronization problems, files not uploading, files not downloading, and constant errors where unless they see the little icon in the bottom near the clock, they have no idea that there's been any sync issues or any of that. So all they know is that they get a lot of red crosses.
Sure.
I guess it's a very open-ended question. Is there any protocols about how I can actually minimize those issues? Is there anything that I should be looking into doing? Or
yeah, so there's a few ways I'd come at that. So if you're in that migration step and you're finding that files aren't getting up in the initial migration to OneDrive for Business, and I know that's probably not the direct answer for yours, but for everyone else's benefit, that file checking tool is a great place to start. I can tell you that there's some information on the public roadmap. So if you haven't seen the Office 365 public roadmap, please do check that out. There's some information on there about some file name support enhancements that are coming. So you'll see extra characters being supported that weren't in the past. I can also tell you, without giving anything away, it's an area of focus for us. We absolutely are fully invested in improving the experience around the synchronization client. You know, we all use it internally. We see the problems that exist. I use it every day. It's where all my content lives, and I still get great value out of it. I still continue to use it because it gives me that access to my content everywhere, and it's far better than, you know, keeping them on disk. I just upgraded to a Surface Pro 3. It took, you know, 5 minutes, and I've got all my content again. And so it's a great tool, but yeah, we see those problems as well, and we're absolutely committed to improving that experience in the near term.
I'm just curious about the integration with the My site.
Yeah, and don't be afraid that we're looming over you when you ask
the
question.
No, that's right. You actually need to hear me.
Cool. So, I'll stand as far back as I can, though.
So the integration with the My site, does that impact with OneDrive for Business them sharing content? So, like, if you're an on-premise user and you're sharing content throughout the your My site, traditionally that was stored in that area. Is that now being redirected up to online, or how does that work?
Okay, so if you're following a document or something like on premises, right, it will reflect in your online environment, but not following people. So
okay, but so if I share something with somebody, like if I upload a document to share, that will go.
You talk about OneDrive for Business?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm sharing something with somebody, that's going to be reflected in the online environment as well?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Cool. Yeah. Question?
Here. Sit.
Well, you don't get the microphone then.
There you go.
But I will talk to you later.
Just to expand on OneDrive, I see that a lot too, mate. But more to the point, is there any way at the currently or in the roadmap, I haven't seen it on the roadmap, to choose what you're synchronizing? Because at the moment it's a whole thing and you got 1 terabyte, and I don't plan on buying 1 terabyte laptops.
Mm. Yeah, no, fair enough. So a few ways I would tackle that. So the very common request, because we give you that in the consumer product, right? So if you've got OneDrive Consumer, you've got selective synchronization. And today in OneDrive for Business, you don't have selective synchronization. Are we acutely aware of that? Yes, we are. So we get that feedback, and we want to change that. I can't say any more than that at this point in time. But what I can say is that I have 5 gigabytes in my OneDrive for Business, and that's all the stuff I work on day to day. At Microsoft, we've modeled and analyzed the usage across our about 150,000 OneDrive for Business users. And the average that we're seeing across all of those users is around the 2.5 gig to 3 gig mark. There's always some outliers, and we're trying to build in some tools to help you to identify when people are sharing Game of Thrones through their OneDrive. But broadly, most people are working in that few gigs of content range, and it's not such a big issue. But it's a common request, and it commonly comes from customers where they say, well, what if someone does use that terabyte? That's going to be an issue. It'll surface itself pretty quickly when they do it, and you'll be able to tackle it on a case-by-case basis. I know that's not preventative, it's reactive. But as I said, we've certainly heard the feedback loud and clear. And whilst I can't commit to anything here like this, I can certainly say that we're aware of it, and we want to address it.
Let's just say the average is negligible.
Right, yeah. So the comment there was, because no microphone, that the average is low. But there will be users that you will come across that are butting up against that storage limit. I'd just sack them. Just summary dismissal. Look at your home drives. If you're running home drives today, check out what sort of volumes are running through your home drives. Just as a side topic, we have just deployed some extra what we're calling SharePoint DLP, which is this ability to do more e-discovery searches across SharePoint. We'll be extending a lot of that type of capability further and further into OneDrive for Business, and we will be improving the auditing and reporting capabilities going forward as well, so you'll have far greater visibility into your OneDrive for Business usage. Again, without committing to specific timeframes for that, we're absolutely on that path, and it's a big area of investment for us.
Yeah, because that's why I brought it up, because you can obviously sync multiple folders. So if you have multiple SharePoint sites that you also want to sync, that just adds on to it and adds on to it.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
You've got to do the whole thing.
You can, because OneDrive for Business is essentially a SharePoint document library, you can synchronize that down the same as you as a OneDrive for Business. So for me, for example, I've got that, you know, 5 gigs of content in my OneDrive for Business, and then I've got a handful of little SharePoint sites that I'm synchronizing down as well. It's a great feature. Yes, you could end up with quite a bit of content coming down. Yeah, cheers. Thanks. Any other questions? Nope. Okay. No. Okay. Thanks very much, everybody. We really hope you've enjoyed Tech Ed. Please do fill out your evaluations, tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.